This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
So Toby didn't say spoiler alert in his update. By the way, we call this the Toby. It's where you basically produce the show. You help book like the Beltway Blitz today.
Sure.
You're doing updates for the show.
Sure.
And you're co-hosting the show today.
Sure.
That's the Altizer.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you do all three. It's like the triple Lindy.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, which I love. It's awesome. Crush it, man. Always fun to hang out with you. So you didn't say spoiler alert in your update. Because I'm like, I'm going to tell you who it is, and now you know.
I ruined your tease.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, I'm not upset about it. I mean, I had a salad today, so it's like I've done some good. Aaron Rodgers visited Pittsburgh, and there's no deal yet. Nothing's imminent. Tom Pelissero was very careful to say that. But here's my point. Here's my view on this, and I want to see what you guys think about it. To me, this is the only place he should go. He may not get all the things that he wants if the Giants are still horned up for him and they do it. And he's like, I want to do more Pat McAfee somehow. Like, even though I do some Pat McAfee, I want to do more. I want to do more podcasts. I want to do more things that aren't football, etc. Maybe the Giants would let him do it. I don't know. To me, the only way it can work this time with Aaron Rodgers, because it's no longer the guy that's the MVP of the league that's thrown for 50 touchdowns and three picks and, you know, 4,800 yards. It's just incredible. That guy ain't walking through the door. A guy that still can sling it a little bit. I mean, he had as many passing touchdowns as Josh Allen did last year. Do we realize that? The MVP of the league. Or the guy that should have finished second to Lamar Jackson. But I digress.
I think they got it right.
Is it for best player on Buffalo or for MVP of the league? Anyway, it should have been. No, the point is, Aaron Rodgers, statistically, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't good. I'm not telling you it was.
Yeah, it's a weird
thing,
though. But
it wasn't that horrendous.
You can look at his season last year and see what you want to see.
Yeah.
Like, you want to say Aaron Rodgers still got it, you can find a way. You want to say Aaron Rodgers is washed, you can turn on the film and say he's washed. It was a weird dichotomy where you could see both sides of it last year.
Yeah, nowhere near prodigious enough as a passer. Sub 4,000 yards despite playing 17 games, which just tells you the story. And it wasn't like they're winning a bunch and they're handing it off a million times. And, you know, this is a ground and pound Rex Ryan Jets team with Mark Sanchez at quarterback. No, they were trailing. You were slinging. Still just not prolific at all. So the fastball isn't there anymore, you would say. I think that's pretty safe. But still, better than a lot of guys. Played better than a lot of quarterbacks did last year. Overall, when we start looking at some of the numbers and individual moments, you're still seeing those creativity plays where he's, you know, buying some time, sliding, not maybe as fast as he used to, you know, throwing back across his body to Davante Adams, toe tapping in the back of the end zone, etc. So if it's going to work, my point is it's got to go. You got to go somewhere where they have such a good culture, such a good place that they can deal with annoying bullcrap. That place is Pittsburgh to me. There are a handful of teams that can fold in the quote-unquote problem guy. And the problem guy can be a million different ways. It can be the diva receiver. It can be the legal trouble Larry. It can be something hanging over his head. It can be whatever Aaron Rodgers is. I don't even know what to categorize that.
Yeah.
It's like its own subcategory, Tobes. Where the guy's out of his mind, just a total pain in the butt, and maybe the production doesn't match. There are only a handful of places where you could do that. I was, you know, would say one day in Washington, I want to get to the point where you can get the risky guy. Because like the Capitals have a culture that's so good, you take a dude that previously was thought of as kind of spoiled, kind of a guy that underachieved and had a bad attitude. Pierre-Luc Dubois, sorry, career year, he's excellent. One of the main reasons why they're as good as they are.
Yeah.
You take a guy that's been a disappointment elsewhere, Brett Connolly, 30-goal scorer just about. That's what they do. That's what this organization has done. Their culture is so good, you fold in new people. Not good like Bruce Allen said, but actually good, like legitimately good. You get the best out of guys. That's awesome. Pittsburgh, with Mike Tomlin, can deal with it. They need to, in fact. They've been doing this thing where they're just aggressively mediocre, trying to get by with, you know, dudes like Russell Wilson and whomever you want, and it ain't working. They're in a really tough division that's not getting any easier. That's as bad as Cincinnati is going to be, I think, for the foreseeable future. That's as down a year as you could imagine them having. If they're healthy, they're formidable. They're a championship contender. They're the only team that Kansas City's going, I don't really want to see those guys. They're not afraid of anybody else. They don't like Cincy. And you know what Baltimore's going to be? Pittsburgh is this perennial 8-9, 9-8 kind of team. And I know they have losing seasons very often, but that's kind of the muck they've been stuck in. They got some decent pieces. The only place that it might work out for Aaron Rodgers, where they've got an outstanding culture, is there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know why it would be the attractive thing for Pittsburgh. It seems like at some point they have to make a move to get a real quarterback. They have to. Because the idea that, and this is why I know you guys are big, you know, Grant and you are big Tomlin fans, and I think most people are, but at some point it's got to get back to the Steelers' standard of winning Super Bowls and not just, hey, guys, we didn't finish below 500 again.
Hey.
But by some way with Kenny Pickett, mm-hmm. we finished above 500 or at 500. When did that become the Steelers' standard? That's never been the Steelers' standard. It's about championships.
Right.
And
you're
so
right.
At some point they have to get a real quarterback in there. You know, they haven't had one since Ben, and you know they rode Ben until they possibly could, and then ever since then it's been a disaster. And Rodgers is just throwing a Band-Aid on a quick fix, and it's not going to fix anything. Like, I think it would help you in that division, obviously, having him versus whatever else you're going to roll with. But does he suddenly propel you to being a legitimate contender in the AFC, which is stacked year after year? No, it does not. You're in the same spot again. So if you want to go and say, hey, we could win 9-10 games with Rodgers, we'll sneak into the back end of the playoffs, we'll lose, we'll get the same conversation over again, but I'm going to keep my job because I never have a losing season, I'm always in the playoffs, fine. I think that fits exactly what you're trying to do. But I just don't understand why they would entertain the idea of bringing that much drama that there is with Rodgers. To your point, I think if there's a place in the NFL right now that has that sort of opening that could find a way to maybe tame Aaron Rodgers a little bit, it is Pittsburgh. But I just don't know how it makes sense for them. For Rodgers, I think it makes sense because it's a team that could win. Because realistically, what? There's three options for him. Minnesota has kind of pulled themselves out of the fight. But I think if, you know, push came to shove, maybe they'd still consider him a little bit later in the offseason. So Minnesota's still an option, I think. The Giants, I don't understand any allure to them. Like, if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm about to ride off into the sunset, why the heck would I want to go play for the New York Giants so I can lose again? What the heck does that gain me?
Right.
I want to go win. So Pittsburgh probably makes the most sense. And so in that case, maybe they marry up perfectly. But if I'm Pittsburgh, at some point I got to look in the mirror and say, are we trying to win a Super Bowl, or are we just trying to be relevant all the time? Because it used to be that Super Bowls were the standard. Right now it seems like it's just about finishing above 500, and Rodgers can get you there. I don't think he's getting you a Lombardi, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. So two separate discussions to me. If you're the Steelers, or if I'm anybody, I don't do this. This is just not what I major in. I don't do the bridge quarterback. I think it's a bridge to more bridges. I think it's the most foolish, nonsensical thing. Every once in a while, it'll work better than maybe a team plan, and you end up lucky. I would say that was the case with Detroit, to be honest with you, right? I mean, they taking on Jared Goff's deal, it wasn't about Goff. It was about the draft picks and a bunch of the stuff they got back. And it turns out that bridge quarterback, when you married him with Ben Johnson, you got beautiful music. Goff has put up great numbers since he got there to Detroit, right? So sometimes it works. But for me, for the most part, 90-some percent of the time, almost without fail, that bridge quarterback thing, you are Cleveland, you are Washington, you are Chicago, and you are pre-Jared Goff, I suppose, Detroit, where you just can't get the spot right, and you're always chasing. You don't finish bad enough to get one of the top three or four in one of those years where it's worth doing, and you end up picking in the late teens or picking in the 20s, and you go, let's try Kenny Pickett. Let's try the next leftover thing. And you never bottom out because you won't do it. There's a big parallel for me between organizations. The St. Louis Cardinals in baseball and the Pittsburgh Steelers in football both believe, and I happen to know this from the Cardinals' perspective, a guy that was a huge mentor, older brother figure in our life, his family was part of the ownership group of the Cardinals. And so he worked there and, you know, obviously follows them incredibly closely. And they don't tank.
No.
It's not in their DNA. They will not. They won't do it. And there's something to be said for it. when everybody else is going, well, we could get a little better, we're not and spend a bunch of money, we're not going to do that. They go, that's exactly what we're going to do. We'll go trade for the guy. We'll let someone walk, and we'll find the cardinal way. One of these guys will come up. So every once in a while, when their next slew of prospects doesn't work out, when Jordan Walker doesn't turn out to be a star, when Lars Nootbaar is just a guy, and you go up and down the list, you end up with a team that all of a sudden is old and probably not going to be very good this year in improving NL Central. This is not a Cardinals breakdown. It's just sort of a matter of fact. And they probably would have been better off a couple times had they just been bad, thinking about St. Louis and or Pittsburgh. But they won't do it. It's not who they are. So from their perspective, you're 100% right. I would not do this. I would not be in this business. I don't do a one-year solution when I'm, you know, not one player away from winning a championship. How many cautionary tales do we need? So that's conversation one. Conversation two, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm not leaving Pittsburgh. Somebody else might offer me more. Now, it depends on what you want. If you still want to be able to do the full Aaron Rodgers 360 panoramic where you're Pat McAfee-ing, saying weird stuff and having Netflix documentaries about you,
yeah,
and you know, trying this experimental thing where you're seeing the pyramids but on peyote, I got no idea what he wants to do. If it's just assuming it's a regular football conversation where you're interested in sort of, you know, taking back your legacy to a degree, I'm not leaving Pittsburgh, man. I'm going to stay right there. I'll sign a deal, and I'll make it so that I've got a pretty good group around me that could maybe use a playmaker or two. But Pittsburgh ain't bad, right? That might give me my chance to actually make it work. And if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm going, all right, if we're doing this, none of the bogus stuff, none of the BS. We're not indulging it for even a microsecond. That's the only way this works.
The tough part for me is I actually think there is a good fit outside of Pittsburgh, and I think Minnesota can make it work, but I just don't think that Aaron Rodgers, at this point in his career, is willing to fit into an offense. The problem for Rodgers is, and I got to cover him for a little bit of time, you know, the MVP years and then kind of the little bit of fall off after that before he ultimately left for New York. I got to cover him when I was in Milwaukee, and I think the problem that Rodgers ran into as he started to decline after those MVP seasons, after they drafted Jordan Love in Green Bay, is he was trying to build an offense around Aaron Rodgers where Aaron Rodgers was still 25. And Aaron Rodgers is obviously no longer that guy. And the same stuff that I saw in a disappointing year for the Green Bay Packers, his last season there, is the same stuff that I saw with the Jets. Obviously, last year it was kind of a lost cause. This past season, you know, he was just not anything that special. And I think if he were willing to fit into an offense, Danny, where if he went to Kevin O'Connell and said, I'm going to run your offense, you're in charge, then I think they can make it work. Because I think what you saw Jordan Love step in and do and play well under Matt LaFleur, that was more LaFleur's offense, not Aaron Rodgers. And I think the reason it fell off is Aaron Rodgers' offense doesn't work in the NFL anymore, where Aaron Rodgers is 40-plus and can't move like Aaron Rodgers of old and can't do the same things like he used to. If he would just play in Kevin O'Connell or maybe even if he were to stick in Pittsburgh and Arthur Smith's offense, I think he can make it work because I think he's still an above-average quarterback if he were to play that way, but he doesn't do it. And so if I could get buy-in from Aaron Rodgers to say, hey, man, just trust your reads, throw it to the guy that's open, throw the ball to Jefferson, throw the ball to Addison. I actually think if I were Kevin O'Connell, I'd be interested in that because J.J. McCarthy, his rookie season, was wasted with an injury. Mm-hmm. He couldn't really develop. The only thing that you were able to do was get him mental reps. So physically, he's still got to get used to the NFL reps and going through all that. I think it'd be good for them to give him another year sitting. But I don't think that I could bring in an Aaron Rodgers. And I think he'd be a good mentor, by the way. I think you heard that from his time in New York and even with Jordan Love and Green Bay. He was never like Favre was to him. He was more than willing to help out if you ask questions. But I think if he were willing to fit into an offense and run what is asked, I think he could still be a good quarterback and maybe play a few more seasons. But I also have a hard time believing that's going to happen. And so that kind of, for me, why would I want to bring in Aaron Rodgers to run Aaron Rodgers' offense?
Yeah, do I have to get Alan Lazard and Nathaniel Hackett and everybody?
I can't do that anymore. So I don't know where the fit is. I would laugh if it ends up being the Giants. Frankly, it's weird where we've gotten because he's so talented. He's so good. Obviously, the last leg of his career, not the same guy he was, you know, a decade ago. But I just don't know where he ends up. I don't know how it makes sense for a team. I don't know how it fully makes sense for Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to play next season, but I would not be the one to pull the trigger on that.
Back-to-back MVP awards, averaging about 70% completions, 42-50, yards, 4,250 yards. This is the average of 2 years. 42.5 touchdowns and 4.5 picks. That was his average over two seasons just a couple of years ago. How long ago does that seem playing-wise, though? You know what
forever.
I mean? Like, it seems like forever. Because that last season you touched on, you saw the beginnings of this, of the cracks, at the end of that 2021 season. Where, go back to 2020, COVID year, he was averaging 9.1% yards per completion. Like, think about that. Yards per attempt. That number dropped so precipitously the following year down to 7.7, and it started to get worse from there. You could see it as it was going. It wasn't now I know some things change, receiver personnel changes and whatever, but you could see that prolific ability to sling it with a flick of a wrist, the Hail Marys that he would get, and everything in between wasn't quite the same anymore. And then 2022, he fell off, 23, the injury, and now 24, we have all the messes.